The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Ian O'Connor on today's show. Ian has authored a book on Mike Krzyzewski. Of course, Coach K is retiring this weekend. It will be the North Carolina Duke game. Ian O'Connor, Coach K, the rise and reign of Mike Krzyzewski. So there's Jerry Colangelo that ties to this book. There's Bobby Hurley that ties to this book. Ian O'Connor's terrific. He did the Bill Belichick book. So we're going to be local on this. Ian is an ASU alum, he attended ASU. Let me correct myself on that. So we'll have Ian O'Connor with us on today's show. We're going to bring Dan Minucci back by popular demand. That'll be later on in the show. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support on this Tuesday. So I think the big story right now is, to me, because we've gone through Kyler Murray, and I have a little bit more on that, but today in the news cycle, it is the owners and players are drawing lines in the sand of Major League Baseball. And for those of you that are in the boat that I am of, I just want games. I don't want negotiations. The more that this is out there, the more turned off fans get. I have said that this is a millionaires against billionaires, and people come back to me and say, well, 71% of Major League Baseball players make less than $1 million, so that is not accurate. Through the years, it's millionaires against billionaires. We're seeing the workforce slowly by the owners. You make too much money, you know? So it is owners and players going back and forth on this. I'm not going to sit here and split hairs because there are the ones that are making the $50 million per season and those that are going to make more than that. And there is the middle class that is getting frozen out in Major League Baseball, which is a problem. It is a problem. So the owners and players did agree to a 12-team playoff last night. Okay, so there's something there. But in terms of competitive balance and thresholds and all of that, and then, okay, today's going to be the deadline. No, tomorrow's going to be the deadline. Right now, what I know to be true is this. Today is the deadline. But yesterday was the deadline. So that's where we are with Major League Baseball. It would be nice if I had a baseball team here in Arizona that I felt like wanted to compete for championships or to be in the postseason. I don't believe that to be the case right now. I don't. Kyler Murray and the fallout, and I've given this a lot of thought. I talked to several agents yesterday. The overriding thing was, hey, Kyler, go back to the players union, and this is the way it is with the rookie wage scale, and tough. He's looking at Baker Mayfield's thing, and that he's of the opinion he should not go down the path that Baker went down. So I know this to be true about Kyler Murray. He's done some very good things. He has been terrific. There's not 10 quarterbacks more that I would want than Kyler Murray. Probably about 10 that I would say, you know what, I'll take that. The agent, the way that he's going about his business, is it a really smart move? Is it a desperate move? That's gone back and forth. I've had some people that have said, you are talking to agents that are in their 40s and 50s, and you got to understand that these guys, they just did business a certain way, and now it's a young man's game. This is how Kyler Murray wants to be treated, and this is how he should be defended, and I think that's just bull. So actually, I side with the Cardinals on this. I usually go on the player's end of things when it is a veteran. A guy like Chandler Jones last year, and it wasn't just his first game. The way Chandler Jones has gone about his business, to me, has said you should be giving him more. The way the NFL works is you're just a piece of meat, so when you get hurt, and then you come back, and then you produce, and then you're kind of, we're not going to give you more. It is all about what the signing bonus is for the players. So I want the players to get as much as they can. It's a violent game. They keep adding more games on top of it. They have the worthless games in August that nobody cares about. The quality of the NFL in September football is now not very good. So when you go through all of it and you see a guy like Kyler Murray with, this is the deal, man. This is the deal. And for your agent to go out and throw down the gauntlet and say that this is what we want and this is what we believe in your team, all in caps? Come on. Tonight, you have Arizona at USC in college basketball. You have this makeup game that's being late in the year, which I think if you're a U of A fan, you're probably not happy. Like UCLA had to play last night off their makeup game. These teams are late in the year. Teams like U of A and UCLA, they need to rest up. Like Bobby Hurley's in a pretty good spot this week. They come off a sweep of the road. They take care of Colorado. They take care of Utah. And now they come home and they get to rest up for Cal and Stanford. Two teams that aren't as difficult at home going into the Pac-12 tournament next week. U of A, they got to play USC tonight. USC is really good. And then they come back home. So they're playing, what would it be? It would be 5 games in 7 days. Yeah, 5 games in 7 days. That's a lot going into the tournament next week. So there's that. The story that's breaking this morning about Cain Velasquez, it's very concerning because I like Cain when he was at ASU as a wrestler, the ASU alum. Former UFC champ was arrested on attempted murder, shot someone. This happened overnight out in California. So that is in the news cycle as well. We'll have in just a couple of minutes, Ian O'Connor and his new book on Mike Krzyzewski. But before we get to the break, the pro basketball and hockey seasons are in full swing. Let's talk about DraftKings for a minute. New sportsbook customers can bet $1 on the money line, win $150 in free bets if their pro basketball or hockey team wins. Thanks to our partnership with DraftKings, all you have to do is sign up for the DraftKings sportsbook account. You can do that on the homepage of Sports 360 AZ. Just click through and you'll find it. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $1 wager on your basketball or hockey team. And if they win, you win $150 in free bets from DraftKings. We appreciate their support. Ian O'Connor, Coach K, stories about Jerry Colangelo, Bobby Hurley, the late Kobe Bryant, and more. That's next. All right, as promised, let's turn the page over to Duke and Mike Krzyzewski. We have a lot of ties here in Arizona to the Duke program indirectly. We have Jerry Colangelo, we have Bobby Hurley. So I want to have Ian O'Connor on. Ian's got a book out, Coach K, The Rise and Reign of Mike Krzyzewski. And of course, Ian, the New York Post columnist, best-selling author. He did the Bill Belichick book. Bill Belichick, Mike Krzyzewski, really interesting couple of guys to put together, a couple of legends and heavyweights. And of course, this Saturday, it's the hottest ticket in the history of college sports. So your book is coming out at a very opportune time. I appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brad. I actually spent a few months of my life living in a dorm at Arizona State University. So I always have a very fond feeling and memories for that marketplace. And thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Can you do pitchforks still? Do you do forks up or is that just out of the, with the way the football program's going? I don't know if you want to do that, Ian, but
I lived in the Manzanita Hall dorm and yep. My room looked right into Sun Devil Stadium. So from up high, if I remember correctly, at least I had a pretty clear view of the stadium. And but those were good days back in 1986, the summer of 86. So it was a long time ago.
That was a good era. That was a good era for sure. All right. This book, let's go with the Arizona angles first. And Jerry Colangelo and Mike Krzyzewski, you talk about the Olympic movement and some terrific stories. I don't want to give away the whole book, but where does Jerry Colangelo factor into the Mike Krzyzewski story?
Oh, he's a big factor, Brad. I mean, when you think about that decision in 2005, Jerry, of course, the head of Team USA, he was effectively hired by David Stern to clean up the mess that Larry Brown had made in Athens in 2004 with that Olympic team. And so Colangelo takes it on and he's got a choice now. First of all, he puts together a meeting of really all time great basketball minds in Chicago in 2005. And you have people, everyone from Michael Jordan to Dean Smith to you name it in that room, just to talk about who we should put in charge of this program to try to straighten out the Olympic team and who should run it, who should be on the team. And it was a wide ranging discussion that got down at some point to who should we have as the head coach. Mike Krzyzewski was the most prominent college name on the board. There were some NBA names as well. And Dean Smith, of all people, his biggest rival, spoke up for him. He said, the only college coach on the board who can get this done is Coach K. And Michael Jordan seconded that, and others agreed with it as well. And it really came down to a choice between Coach K and Greg Popovich. What hurt Popovich was he didn't have a great relationship with Jerry Colangelo, for one, given the rivalry in the Western Conference. And he had been a part of that Athens staff under Larry Brown. And I believe he was on that George Karl staff in 2002 in the World Championships in Indianapolis when they finished sixth or seventh. So that hurt him. And ultimately, Colangelo goes with Coach K, and he really changed Mike's life with that decision. Krzyzewski had opportunities over the years to go to the NBA. He stayed at Duke, but he ended up getting the best of both worlds, winning and winning and winning some more at Duke, and also getting the chance to coach the best NBA players in the world at the Olympics.
And you had a story, one of many terrific stories in the book, about an interaction between Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, Mike Krzyzewski, Michael Jordan, trying to get it figured out, and Coach K bringing him to his room to get into him. Just share that a little bit.
Well, listen, there are a number of anecdotes in the book that illustrate the tension that existed, particularly between LeBron James and Coach K. LeBron had lost with Mike in 2006 in Tokyo in a very humiliating way in the World Championships. That was Mike's first international tournament as Team USA coach. And they lose to Greece in the semifinals on a single pick and roll play that Greece ran over and over again, and the Americans never defended it. So it was humiliating. And so Coach LeBron didn't completely buy into the whole Coach K thing going into Beijing in 2008. And so there's a scene in the book of a meeting, and Coach K had told LeBron in advance of this team meeting in Las Vegas before heading to Beijing, I need you to speak up in this meeting. This is a tone setter. And he said the same thing to Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, and Jason Kidd, the team leaders. Well, those three spoke up, but the meeting went 45 minutes and LeBron never said a word. And Coach K was getting worried. He was never going to speak up after promising to do that. Finally, LeBron did. He said something very eloquent about, hey, we have all the all-stars we need in this room to get this done. These are the players we want to play with in the NBA. So no excuses other than to win the gold medal. So there were a number of other scenes, one where at the end of the Australia preliminary game before going from Shanghai to Beijing, Kobe Bryant started taking a lot of Laker shots, not Team USA shots, and shots that drove Phil Jackson crazy at times, right? So LeBron said to Coach K during that game, yo, coach, you better fix that mother bleep. And Krzyzewski didn't want to deal with it. He's a college coach. He lost in 06. Now he's got to tell Kobe Bryant to change his shot selection or temper it. He did not want to do it, but he knew that LeBron was holding him accountable. So the next day he pulled Kobe aside in a room, opened his laptop and showed him about a half dozen shots that he said, hey, we can't have this. This is not the Lakers. You can't take these shots for Team USA when LeBron James and Jason Kidd and others are your teammates. And Kobe looked at him and said, okay, coach, you're right. I got you. Don't worry about it. And so it was a scene of LeBron holding Coach K accountable, Coach K holding Kobe accountable, and then ultimately Kobe making the big, somewhat acrobatic shots against Spain to save the U.S. in the gold medal game.
Yeah, and I misspoke there when I said Michael Jordan. It was LeBron James, just for clarity's sake for the audience. The Olympic coaching time for him, how did it make him a better college coach? Did it change him at all?
I think it did, Brad. I think it made him better. Some of the Duke players told me he became more player-friendly after that, and they needed that because he's got a lot of Bobby Knight in him. I think Knight crossed the line, obviously, of acceptable coach-player conduct, and Mike would go up to that line and not cross it. But he came back and was a little bit different in that context. But also, he decided after coaching LeBron and Kobe, I want to coach the best players in the world at any particular level. And so he decided to embrace the one-and-done era of college basketball. He went after John Wall, lost him to Kentucky, and then he got Kyrie Irving. Austin Rivers back then was a slam dunk one-and-done player. Jabari Parker, and then he got the players who won him the national title in 2015. I think what's interesting is he wins it all in 2010 with a traditional Duke upperclassman team. And then in 2015, he wins it all with a one-and-done team highlighted by Okafor and Winslow. So it just showed how he survived and thrived and adapted over 42 years. It's pretty amazing that he adapted so much at age 75. He still has a chance to win the national title.
That's well put. Ian O'Connor with us. Coach K, the rise and reign of Mike Krzyzewski. Ian's put it together. It is available to get. It's a terrific read. Bobby Hurley. So from a distance, when Bobby came here, I thought, oh, he's going to be here a few years and he'll be the guy that replaces Mike. That didn't happen. Bobby's sideline demeanor versus Mike Krzyzewski's sideline demeanor. I'm seeing a lot of it because I've heard through the years that Mike Krzyzewski has the most foulest mouth, which is fine. His sideline demeanor gets out of control at times, or did. Bobby is still in that space. Are there any parallels between those two, Ian? And what are some of the Bobby Hurley sides in this book?
Well, certainly, and Bobby Hurley is Coach K's favorite all-time player. I think there's no doubt about that. I think Mike, as a player at Army under Bob Knight, wished he had the same offensive freedom he gave Bobby at Duke, and he didn't. Knight never wanted him to shoot, even though Mike led the Catholic League in Chicago in scoring twice. So he made up for it with Bobby. He lived through Bobby. He wished he was that kind of player. He certainly didn't have Bobby's talent. But I think as coaches, yeah, you see a lot of Krzyzewski's fire in Hurley. Now, Bobby's father is arguably the greatest high school coach in the game's history. And he was as intense as Coach K, if not more so. So I think there's part of his father and part of Coach K in his style and approach. And I think what's important to remember, I was there when Christian Laettner made the shot against Kentucky in Philadelphia in 92, which is probably the most famous play in the history of college basketball. But Bobby is the one who made the biggest shot in Duke basketball history, without question. The 91 Final Four against an unbeatable UNLV team that had destroyed Duke in the national championship game the prior spring. And down five with 2 minutes and change left, Bobby hit a three that changed everything. Coach K at that point was just like Marv Levy later. He was the coach who couldn't win the big one. And the Blue Devils were the Buffalo Bills. They could not win the big one. Bobby makes that three-pointer. And without that, they lose that game. Duke ends up winning that game and, of course, winning the national title 2 nights later and then the following year winning it again. So if Bobby doesn't make that shot, I don't know what happens to that program. They had lost the national title game in 86, lost the Final Four in 88, 89, got destroyed in 90 in the final. If they lose again in 91, I'm not sure they win in 92. That burden of just never getting over the hump was just getting so big and heavy. So Bobby Hurley's, he changed, that shot changed a lot of lives in a basketball context without question.
It's interesting just to see those two and how they comport themselves. All right. Saturday, it's the hottest ticket, the most expensive ticket in the history of college athletics or college basketball, at least. You're going to be there at a bookstore. What do you think that's going to be, the scene is going to be like there this Saturday with your book, the final game with Coach K there against North Carolina?
I'll actually be at a Glory Days Grill restaurant sports bar, and they're hosting a book signing, and it's 20 minutes away from Duke, so I'm sort of looking forward to just being in that.
Yeah,
in that area. And it's going to be electric. I was in Cameron. My wife had never gone to a game there, so I took her last month. And the atmosphere in that building is off the charts to begin with for a regular season ACC game. And of course, this year, the games felt a little different because it's Coach K's final year. But if you've never seen a game there, what a place. I paid, I think, $250 a pop on StubHub. And we were six rows from the top of the building. And this was against Clemson, so he had a handful of games still left. But we felt like we were on top of the court. And it's just one of those gyms and arenas where there just isn't a bad seat in the house, and the atmosphere is just special. I can't imagine what it's going to be like Saturday against their blood rival, the Carolina Tar Heels, and dozens of former players at Duke in the house to watch. It'd be interesting to see if he cries at the end after it's over. I think he'll be even more emotional if they win. If they lose, it'll impact him. They can't lose this game. They just can't. So I assume that, and Carolina's down this year, so I have to believe Duke will find a way to win this game. And then it'll be very interesting to see during the NCAA tournament just how much that emotion carries them. And does that become a burden in and of itself on Paolo Banchero and the rest? Because you don't want to be the team that loses a big game and ends Coach K's career. So it'll be fascinating to watch Duke as they go throughout the postseason. Saturday night will feel like a postseason game. It isn't. Yeah. But this is really the beginning of the end of Coach K Saturday night in Durham.
Yeah, just so you know, I've been out here pounding my fist, seeing how Bobby's gotten the Sun Devils to rally lately and say, make a great run at the Pac-12 tournament. CBS, TNT will say first round, Duke, Arizona State, and it would be a terrific ending. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Bobby hasn't played much better this point of the year. If people pick this book up, What are they going to get out of? Final question. What are they going to get out of this book, Ian?
Well, I think, Brad, they'll get a real sense of who he is, Mike, as a human being. He never should have been the head coach at Duke. He was 9-17 at Army when he got hired as a head coach in the ACC in 1980 at a program that had gone to the national championship game 2 years earlier. His hiring never made any sense. It was a gut feel by an athletic director who took a big gamble, and it paid off in a huge way. But just the inner rage that was shaped as a blue-collar kid growing up in Chicago as basically the grandson of immigrants whose father had to change his name to avoid discrimination. Mm. And his mother was a cleaning lady who owned two dresses. They were always perfectly pressed in her closet. That was it, two dresses her entire life. They labored for wealthy people. And I think Mike was shaped in a way to believe that you have to earn your way in America. People will try to take things away from you. Don't let them. And I think that inner fire and rage, that competitive rage, shaped Duke into the greatest program in all of college basketball over the better part of four decades. And I think his career will go down. He'll go down as the greatest coach of all time. I believe I'd put him slightly ahead of John Wooden. And I think that's a hell of a legacy for a guy who never should have gotten that job in the first place.
That is terrific. The name of the book, Coach K, The Rise and Reign of Mike Krzyzewski. Ian O'Connor there, the author. We appreciate your time. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, I love doing deep dives when we see something that's like this little wave off in the distance about 6 months ago, and then the tidal wave builds and builds and builds, and I know someone that can address the tidal wave as it's crashing. We're going to talk about what's gone on with the transfer portal and how it's really impacted high school quarterbacks, but also college quarterbacks as we've gone through the last 6 weeks with guys like Jack Miller and Spencer Rattler and Plummer and Chubba Purdy all moving around, Valley guys. And Dan Minucci's with us because Dan knows all, tells all. He's a quarterback whisperer, as I like to say. You can follow him over on Twitter at QB Minucci, M-A-N-U-C-H. You can, of course, hear him. Was it like 15 years now? You and Rock, Mike Morocco, and Crespin have been doing radio over on Fox Sports 910.
17 years, Brad.
17
years and going.
17. I had hair then.
I remember that.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's get into this deep dive from your view on what is going on, because you're out there. I've seen you sweat bullets with these kids on Saturdays, weekdays, trying to get them better. The parents are like, I've got to find someone to fine tune them. You're with some of these players for now 5, 6, 8, 10 years.
Yes.
Working with them. So what do you make out of the last 6 months, Dan?
You know, a couple of things that come to fruition, Brad. I think there's a lot of guys that the movement, there's a couple of things that are here. There's other guys that are coming in, for a lot of these college quarterbacks. I think a lot of them feel if their coaches move on, they want to move on with them. There's the other part of that. Well, I'm here and it's very obvious that I'm not going to be playing here, that the competition isn't fair, or I'm not going to be the guy, but I know that I can still play. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of college quarterbacks that they can still play, aren't getting the fair shot, or feel if I go maybe to another school or maybe I wouldn't say lesser school, but maybe I take a step back so I can play, is what a lot of those college quarterbacks are looking at. For example, there was close to 15 starting quarterbacks in Division I football that went into the transfer portal this last year. Now, there's many reasons why they're moving on. Maybe the younger guys are coming in. Maybe that they've got their degree. They want to actually go and play and somewhere where they really like to go and get a master's degree, that kind of thing. Or they feel that I'm not getting that shot. I'm clearly the better guy. It's very obvious. Or there's a new coaching staff coming in, and I'm not one of their guys. I mean, I can go on and on about, yep, you know, why and how come. Then there's the other piece of it, though, that a lot of these guys from college are being enticed with the name, image, and likeness situation, right. NIL. There's a lot of guys that are moving on. I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a few guys that are moving on because of, well, I can probably get a few more bucks here or a few more bucks there. That's not every instance. Now, if somebody's being recruited out of college and going to, let's say, Texas or Missouri or Bangor, Maine Tech, whatever, they're going to put themselves out there on the free agent market to see who might pony up for that particular standpoint. So what that's creating in the college ranks is guys moving around. I know a couple of guys that have moved around and have gone somewhere because their girlfriends are playing a sport at a particular place. Like Martinez from Nebraska is going to K-State. His girlfriend plays soccer or volleyball at K-State. You got Keaton Slovis going from USC to Pitt because his girlfriend is over at Pitt, which is fine. Yep. So there's a lot of motivation, a lot of reasons, which leads us to the high school ranks of quarterbacks getting recruited out of high school. They're getting squeezed because these other guys are moving around and there's really no position for them. Or if they do come in, they may have to sit for 1, 2, or maybe even 3 years. So that tidal wave that you talk about, Brad, is starting to trickle down into the high schools and some of those locations. Like, let's say if there's an outstanding quarterback here in Phoenix, sophomore, junior, he may get an offer as a sophomore, junior. Well, now those offers are going to wait until maybe a senior year. And if they do come a senior year, they're going to come very late in the process and maybe into the second signing period. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the encapsulation of what's going on. And let me back up just a hair. With the early signing period, a lot of those young men, those quarterbacks in Division I, put their names in the portal early so they could be there prior to the early signing period, what was that, December, from those coaches making sure they got their guy early. And if they got their guy early, then they can move on to that second signing period. So it's kind of a dichotomy of trying to get out in front of the wave, if you will, and not have that tidal wave come crashing down on those that are there.
How much of it, Dan, is the parent, the advisor, versus the kid saying, we got to get you out of there because you're not getting enough demo tape, so to speak, for the NFL?
I think that's part of it. I think that sometimes I see a lot more patience. I'd like some more patience. But there's a lot of those college quarterbacks out there going, hey, look, at this time, I've done all I can do. Let me move on. Or I'm not getting a chance to play at all. So what kind of tape am I going to get? So the patience that when you and I were in school, if I had to wait, if I played a little bit my junior year off and on, waiting for that senior year, for me, I still felt, well, if I had the talent and I could show or lead the Big Eight in passing or show my wares, the scouts would see that. But here's what's going on. A lot of these guys can come out as juniors now, or if you redshirt, if you're a redshirt sophomore, you can come out. So you're seeing a lot of, number one, a lot of money with a lot of these guys coming out as juniors, if they're ready. And a lot of guys will talk to a lot of scouts and say, you could be projected anywhere from the second or fourth round. Or if you stay another year, you'll probably, I mean, if you come out this year, you may not come out to the fifth or sixth round. Versus if you come out next year, you might be a second, third, fourth rounder. So there's a lot of that going on. And to your point, yeah, a lot of parents will say, well, we got to get you somewhere, get you some tape where a lot of these scouts will see you. Here's my answer to that. Scouts know talent no matter where you're at, what period you're at, and if you develop. That's what they want to see. So to your point, yes, there's a lot of anxiousness amongst parents, amongst these quarterbacks, of trying to move on without taking the first two or three steps.
Well, I'll throw some names at you. So Ty Thompson's in a situation at Oregon where a coach moves, to your point, and they bring in Bo Nix from Auburn, and Ty is there. He stayed.
Right.
Chuba Purdy had a number of shoulder surgeries, wasn't sure about his future there. In my opinion on that one, needed a change of scenery, put his name in the portal, waited till the very, very end on this deal. And I think he made a wise move in going to Nebraska. Jack Miller, there was a relationship with Tim Tebow and the Tebow family. So, of course, he's going to go to Florida. Spencer Rattler jumped right away. These are all the Valley quarterbacks we hear up high. The Plummer going from Purdue to Cal. But there's got to be some quarterbacks looking at the Division IIs and the NAIAs that at one time, I call them daddy ballers that just want to get the top 20 programs. Their kids aren't there. But these programs beneath the surface, Dan, are going to be, as I see it, a player coming in. And if he kills it at an NAIA or Division II, then the transfer portal guys are going to come after him and say, come up here and play in the big leagues. Am I right on that?
I think you're spot on with that. And a couple things to that, Brad. For a lot of these young quarterbacks that have a lot, let's say they have D1 talent, and there's just no room at the next level, there is nothing wrong with going to an NAIA school, Division II, Division III, whether you're FBS or FCS. I'll give you a prime example. I mean, Rocky Lombardi, a young man I've been training for over 5 years, he's at Michigan State. He's in the Big Ten. He's doing a heck of a job. New coach comes in. They play him. They don't play him. They play him. They don't play him. Rocky's going, well, I only got 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years left. I'd really like to be in a situation where I'm going to play all the time and just be the guy, not where you have to about, am I playing this week or that week? Rocky decides going to the portal last year. He has an opportunity to look at UCLA, a couple of other big D1 schools. He settles on Northern Illinois because the coach says, look, Rocky, you come here. We're going to let you play. You're going to be our guy. You can make mistakes. You don't have to worry about all the minutiae surrounding you. He goes into Northern Illinois, and they win the title this year. He playing. He's got one more year. Rocky can play. He's got pro potential. He's got that pro arm. He's got all of that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of guys understand that when they see it to take a step back. So for the high school kids, you may have to go take an NAIA or Division II, Division III, or get your eyes off of the ASUs or Ohio States. Maybe you go to NAU. Maybe you go to Eastern Washington. Here's the thing. You just need to go, number one, go somewhere you're going to get a free education. Get an education, first and foremost. Yep. You can't eat the football, right, Brad? When you get on, life moves on, you can't eat the football. You become broadcasters like us.
Yep.
But here's the thing. If you have the talent and you play a lot of football and you're playing good football, if you have the talent and the potential to go to the next level, they will find you, they will see you, and they will know you have that. So it's just a matter of go somewhere where you're going to get a chance to play, get an education, be happy with your ad, and don't worry about all the other stuff. That will take care of itself.
How much, though, and to your point, ACU and Ottawa both have NFL pro days, and the NFL scouts show up at ACU and Ottawa. They will find you. Dan's dead on, right on that. Dan Minucci with us for a couple of minutes. The conversation, though, that you, in your space, because I'm sure you have these conversations. I have these conversations with the high school dad that just is playing well, the kid next door that is getting more attention, or the neighbor across the street has a big boat. Nobody cares about the boat, and you don't even like the neighbor across the street. What are you worried about? So I'm trying to get to the, do you find talking parents off the ledge now as quarterback dads and moms?
Yes.
More over the top than ever?
Yeah, you know what? Some yes, some no. I think what the parents realize now is what I try to tell them. I said, look, I'm going to develop your son to the best that we can make him. He's got to want to buy in to be the best he can be. And for a lot of you parents that are out there and that see that, I'm like, look, your son is very good, or he's outstanding. You can't worry about things you can't control. The only thing you can do is get your huddle tape, do the best you can, put it out there, and let's see what happens. And sometimes you might have 20 offers, you may have 20 people talking to you, or you might have 3, but you may have to just continue to work at it. You've got to be very patient as a parent and not get caught up in all this, I call it the fireworks that are going around a lot of these quarterbacks. You know, yeah. Some have it and some don't. And you know what? That's okay. You can also go the JUCO route, which I did for 2 years.
Which I did also, for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly, Brad. Right. So there's life after high school football going to the JUCO route.
Josh Allen did it. Aaron Rodgers did it. It's not that hard, guys, to go JUCO. It's smart.
It's smart. It allows you to develop. It goes from there. So I really have, a matter of fact, a lot of parents are getting anxious, well, he's not getting any looks or getting any offers. I'll give you the prime example of Brock Purdy going into his senior year.
Yes.
A couple offers here, a couple there. I talked to Sean Purdy. I said, hey, just be patient. He continues to play well. There will be more teams that will start to come. Yeah. And sure enough, a guy by the name of Nick Saban out of Alabama puts the offer out there. Then you got the Texas A&Ms and the Iowa States, and all of a sudden – And you go, wow. And I think he's an example of if parents see that here's what could happen, let the dust settle, because a lot of the recruiters, if you have talent, Brad, will come back around. Case in point, look at Kansas State University, Adrian Lara out of Desert Edge. Mm-hmm. They've come back around. They've made him an offer now. So they've got to sift through the portal first, in fairness to those colleges, come back to the quarterbacks or players that they know have talent to fit their scheme. And then the rest of everybody else is not that you settle, but there's other opportunities for you to go play. Keyword, go play, go get your free education if it's free or 75% of, and you can show your wares there. And to your point, Brad, the Ottawas, the ACUs of the world, you know, the Occidental colleges over in California, they have pro days. They're going to see the talent and they'll understand that as long as you're working at your craft and working hard, things will come to fruition. So not so much talking them off the ledge, but I think giving them a hard dose of reality to where life is right now, that you worry about work hard, get great grades if you can, because that's a determination for a lot of these schools. And then everything else takes care of itself.
How much of it, Dan, is the parents are just so caught up in this and the kid just wants the ball? The kid just wants to play, wants to throw. The kid gets in the car after practice or after game. You didn't do enough. We got to talk about college. The pressure from above, because getting a free education is so important in this day and age, that parents, this isn't parent bashing. It's just more parent guidance. I find that most quarterbacks don't care about any of this stuff. And daddy ballers just trying to negotiate or trying to get them to this space. And a lot of times the kid doesn't even want to do it. Are you finding that in your space in quarterback training?
No, I'm really not. I've been very fortunate with the parents I've had over the years. I may have had maybe one or two. I've been doing this, Brad, for, gosh, 25 years now. And I've had one or two that might bounce them around to go, well, let's try this school. It's not working out. Try that school. And I've told them, I said, look, my opinion, I said, if you want it, leave the kid there. Let them compete. You know, the key word sometimes, Brad, I think gets lost is, how about if we compete for the starting job and let's work to see who the best guy is. And you know what? I've had quarterbacks, Brad, that have had to wait till their senior year before they've started. And I've had quarterbacks that are backups that have gotten scholarships. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of competition, you talk about Ty Thompson at Oregon, Bo Nix, who'll have one more year. It's great competition for Ty. Ty's extremely talented. Bo Nix is talented. That let's go compete, because Bo's moving on. Ty, if he beats him out, great. If not, well, guess what? Ty's got another 3 years that are there. The whole thing, let's compete, go work hard, get great grades, do the best you can, put your best tape, put your best highlights on your huddle tape, put it out there, market yourself, make coaches aware. You eventually end up where you're supposed to end up, and your focus should be, number one, your education, and number two, the chance to compete for a starting job. I think sometimes, well, he's good enough. Well, he's got to go earn that job. So I think that sometimes what I try to do is give the reality check to parents that are like that. I'm very fortunate, because I think a lot of parents that I'll say 99.9% of the parents I deal with, I'm very fortunate, very blessed, understand that. And they're in that corner of, hey, look, son, you got to go get your grades. You got to go earn that scholarship if you're going to move on.
Okay, so when a college calls you looking for quarterbacks, what's the first couple questions they ask?
What kind of an individual is he? First and foremost, Dan, is he a leader? What kind of a guy is he on the field and off the field? They'll already know about their grades. Mm-hmm. Tell me about this young man's work ethic. Is he a young man that I can trust to give him that information? Is he a young man that's going to show up every day and work hard? It's something, Brad, because it's all the intangibles they want to know about that young man. You got to look at this. These high school kids are like a stock, believe it or not. I'll be realistic. Sure. And if they're going to invest in you, they got to make sure that they touch every base. They turn over every rock to make sure. And if there are flaws and blemishes, can they deal with them? Pretty much. You remember, they're 17, 18-year-old young men. So when these coaches call me, it's the intangibles. How does he throw the ball? How does he react to coaching? Mm-hmm. Is he on time? Does he work hard? Just tell me what kind of a young man he is. Those are the things they look at, because they know what kind of a kid he is when they watch him on tape. And then when they meet him and sit down with them, then they can kind of look him in the eye and see if they flinch one way or the other. So for a lot of these college coaches I talk to, a lot of intangibles, and then they finally get around to, how does he throw the bang eight? What kind of top does he have on his deep ball? What kind of timing? Those kind of things. But very first and foremost, what kind of a young man is he, period? Then they move on from there.
When you have the portal now in place and with NIL on top of it, are you finding just in recent months or in the last year where you're getting more coaches calling, looking, because quarterbacks are moving so much and I want to use the word desperation, but the need is now more than ever. Is your phone ringing more from colleges because of all this?
Yeah, I tell you what's interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, Brad, because when guys call me last 3 or 4 weeks, the first thing they want to talk about are the portal guys. Mm-hmm. And I'm more than glad to talk to them because they need to, and I think you might have just hit it, they need to win right now in college football.
Yep.
When you look at the money these coaches are making, the pressure on them to bring the best guy possible. And I also think, Brad, it's pretty much we need to keep up with the Joneses with all these portal guys. I want to say, three weeks ago, there were 4,000 football players in the portal as of 2 weeks ago. Of those 4,000, I want to say there was like 55 quarterbacks in the portal from college football. And I think I mentioned earlier, I want to say about 15 of those college quarterbacks were starters at Division I football. So for them, it's portal first, the best I can get, number one, because I got to keep up with the Bamas and Auburns or the Michigans or whomever. And then I got to make sure that I've got that. And then I can go and get my bullpen of other quarterbacks to build off of that. So I think a lot of it is the pressure, the understanding, try to grab the best I can, work with that quarterback a year to 2 years, and then they move on from there. But you're right. They want to talk about the portal guys, and I'll go, that's great. But I've got like these 4 or 5 other guys I want to talk to about.
Right.
They'll listen to them, but they'll go, well, Dan, let me do this. Let me circle back to you in about 2 weeks for that second signing period, and then they move on from there. But it's interesting you brought that up. I was just thinking about that the other day, that they want to talk portal guys first and then the high school guys. So, you got to work your butt off, and you might get squeezed. But you know what? You just got to do the best you can and trying to find the best opportunity that you can.
And there's dominoes that fall. You know, I know that with Caleb Williams and Spencer both coming out immediately, there was the wait. And then there was Cameron Ward at Incarnate Word back to, look, you can go to a little small college and all of a sudden you blow up. And Cameron Ward is a name that many parents should just Google to see his journey and what it's gone on during all this. And so I believe that where we're heading with this, and I could be wrong, I want your opinion on this, is we're going to see another wave in the portal in April and May when spring balls finish up. We're going to see guys that say, you know what, I'm not going to get a shot here. So that's going to happen. I've already heard from ASU, they don't think their recruiting class is going to be done until mid-June.
Right.
So I think there's still more that's going to come. And then in the next season, there'll be guys pulling the ripcord earlier and earlier. And I'm just going to go train. I'm going to go with Coach Mnuch. I'm going to go train. I don't need to be out here if I'm not going to play. I think that's going to happen. Unfortunately, I don't want to see that happen because, to your point, the education should be first metric. But in so many cases, it's not. It's just, if not I'm going to play, then I got to get out of here.
Yeah, and I hope that doesn't happen, Brad. I think that's reality. That could happen.
Yeah.
And for so many guys that train with me, they're just trying to find something that have the talent. Now I look at a couple of guys that have got talent right now. They're just trying to hook on wherever. And again, their focus is education, but they want to play. And they can play. I mean, I've got several guys that can play D1, whether it's FBS, FCS. And if they go to NAIA, Division II, Division III, if they can get there and show their worth, then they're good to go. But I think it's unfortunate. I think at some point in time, coaches will see how many times that young man is he going to be in the portal. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is, if you're in the portal once, that's pretty much should be it and move on. And whatever the ramifications are from there, that's up to the NCAA to work with that. And the NAIL on top of that is a whole other animal. That's a whole other show in itself, Brad, that I think there's got to be some monitoring, because a lot of guys, some of them are going to the highest bidders mm-hmm. that are out there, where boosters can legally get involved now to up the ante for a lot of these guys. And if they go to the highest bidder, good for them. But you got to just be careful that you're going to start to hear guys go, well, we can't afford so-and-so to come to Kansas State, but we're getting a free education. You're going to play big boy ball. There's money after the fact. So there's that whole ramification you're dealing with too. So the encapsulation of this for a lot of quarterbacks out there, work your butt off, get great grades, understand you're going to get squeezed, don't fret it, go work hard. Again, you got a chance to get a free education. You'll play if you ball out. If you have that talent, you're on the next level, they'll find you.